Hello, Gemini. Welcome to part two of your 2015-2016 solar return birthday reading. We left off with the idea of an integrated experience of existence, and that's really the focal point, I think, of Gemini as a concept, of the mutable signs as a concept, and also of your astrology today. And when we talk about an integrated experience of existence, that's another way of reminding you that you really are one being. And it's not merely Gemini that has this experience of fastening. Indeed, Gemini is one of the most important signs of the zodiac, and everyone has Gemini in their chart, and everyone experiences Gemini possibly more than any other sign that generically influences every single horoscope in existence. Because the thing that Gemini illustrates is something that is foundational to the human experience. And so when you ponder your Gemini-ness, remember that there is something about your experience that is foundational to the human experience, and that involves the way in which we experience our own minds as being able to differentiate, being trapped in a kind of differentiation, not really understanding that there are many of us inside of one entity, but the quest of the spiritual path of psychology, of what used to be called the human potential movement, of many of the great spiritual traditions in the world, is integrating ourselves and being one person. This is sometimes done the most effectively through art. It is done through relationships where one of those twins in some facets gets externalized as the other, as a partner, and we experience a facet of ourselves through that otherness, and then gradually integrate our relationship with that person. It happens in experiences that we have with animals, who sometimes seem to be kind of twin souls of us. Have you ever had a relationship with an animal where you experience this creature as basically being a kind of a perfect mirror of who you are? And gradually fully integrate that relationship into your life. It's one of the most awesome things about relating to critters, because they help us see and feel, moreover, our oneness with all of life. So this Gemini dance is going on through much of consciousness, whether it's some inherent property in consciousness or whether it was trained by the ancient Greeks and the Zoroastrians and the Manichae people and the Christians, and who try to separate us from our bodies and separate us from, you know, consciousness, normal waking consciousness, from the soul, and all these divisions that are ultimately academic. Because the reality is that you're one person. You live one life. But the perception that we have is that we live somehow different lives, that we facet differently, and this can lead to some chaos, some confusion in who we are. And the perfection of retrograde Mercury in your sign is that it illustrates this need to retrieve your sense of your wholeness. And much of the integration that we do involves integrating and in some ways differentiating and casting off influences from the past. And the retrograde illustrates a journey into the past, as if there is a quest for some thing happening. And as I've suggested, finding yourself is not like finding your ring, where you either have it or you don't. You know where it is or you don't know where it is. But sometimes this quest for self can involve finding an incident or a thing from history that is at the root of the sense of separation from yourself. And because, in particular, American culture and by extension all of Western culture, which is dominated by American society, American values, we tend to look away from the past. We tend to discount the value, the power, the importance of understanding and fully integrated what has come in the past. We tend to look away from these potential points of origin, these potential source events that are lurking in consciousness and lurking at the kind of at the foot of experience that can have this separating effect. And it would seem that Mercury retrograde is headed straight for such an encounter, such an awareness of something that will help you to understand and to make peace with. And this would appear to be some form of a family event. It's likely to have happened when you were very young. I can see this through a number of multiple significations in the chart, including, well, I'll go through them in a moment because I want to put them into context. But there's multiple significations saying that this is something that is young, perhaps something around 3 years old, something in that range, you know, in that range where memory of experiences is hazy, back in that area where you only have a few memories of who and what you are and what you perceive. This is different for everyone, but there is that point where it seems like we don't recollect that, but those events still have power, and they are also still contained in memory. And rather than looking for one thing, though we may be talking about one thing, I would suggest that you orient on getting a feeling, remembering the feeling of that time, remembering the mood, the aesthetics, the sensory experiences. What was it like to be that age as far back as you can remember, the earliest possible time that you can remember? Mercury is taking you there, and as this particular retrograde progresses and as the year progresses, you are likely to be taken further and further back and be able to reconstruct very early memories. Now, I suggest this again, knowing that this is not a popular activity and it's not widely practiced, and it's often considered very unpleasant, like I'd rather leave all that stuff behind, or it is kind of bathed in nostalgia, like, oh, it was so wonderful, everything was so perfect, and all of this. And both of those, by the way, are illustrative of Neptune, because Neptune has a way of either wanting things to fade into the haze, go down the memory hole, not be accessible anymore for whatever reason, too unpleasant, too difficult, too weird, or to idealize and say, oh, it was perfect, I had the idyllic childhood, it was so wonderful. And neither of those are going to be particularly helpful in this case. Though what will be helpful is to be as objective as you can and to bear in mind that what you remember will help you. And it will help you not, well, I was going to say not merely for the fact of remembering it, but that I think is actually true. There are certain things that once they enter consciousness or resurface, they're actually not that easily put back. And therefore, they have an effect. And so what you remember will have an effect, but I suggest that you in some way keep notes on what that is. Even if you're a visual artist or a musician or none of the above, keep some notes on what you're remembering. There is something ancestral that is going on that is deeply necessary, that is urgently involved in your process of personality integration. And what I see you doing is living through this kind of ideal circumstance for being able to get the hang of experiencing yourself as one unified critter. Not as fragments in any way. Now, part of what it means to be that one unified critter is, as mentioned in the previous discussion, that you are someone who can morph, who can change, who can shapeshift, who can alter your consciousness and your presentation and your experience, your receptivity, depending on the situation. But that is all part of the same very fluid entity. And when that ability to be fluid and to change and to morph is divested of awareness, that can lead to these schisms. And what I see you doing is looking to heal and mend those schisms rather than to accentuate them in any way. And this particular constellation of factors now that is at work, this time, this day, in this very year, this solar return seems to be offering you this perfect set of alchemical ingredients, some of them physical circumstances, perhaps people, and some of them this kind of quality of the psychic and spiritual environment that you're in, perhaps your creative environment, your ability to use your tools, use language, use your training and healing, use your therapy process, use your knowledge that you've gained over all of these years to be able to reach that point of actually experiencing yourself as both unified, integrated, consciously being one being, where you are aware of all of the other facets that you can offer, that you get to the point of the underlying holistic quality that you have, which includes knowledge that you can consciously present yourself in a certain way, like our old friend Al Jira, who can manifest in the dream body, manifest in the physical body, manifest in an intellectual orientation, manifest in an artistic, creative, musical, whatever that might be, but bringing the full power of all else, all the other facets with you into that situation so that you're never leaving part of yourself behind. And this, by the way, is going to factor largely, massively, beautifully in the career question, because as far as I can tell, you need to be where you know you never have to leave parts of yourself behind. And when you find yourself doing that, that's the time to switch it up in some way, however you choose to do that, whatever decisions you make, whether it's immediate, relevant to your circumstances, whether it's you make long-term plans, you've got to not do that thing that leads you to be unlike who you actually are, or to leave all of these other beautiful dimensions of yourself out of the scenario. Now let's talk about the past and the role the past plays and why it is I'm seeing this in the astrology. And this is an example where a number of others, this is a very astrological reading compared to what I normally do. And in the Q&A session, and I'm never sure what to call these things, but when we get to speak, let's talk about the astrology and the metaphors the astrology is presenting. As I mentioned, you live on the mutable cross, and that means that the other three signs that are fully functioning aspects of yourself are Virgo, Sag, and Pisces. And Virgo is one of the, you know, critical parts of your chart. It is the fourth house for you. So count four signs from Gemini. That would be Gemini, Cancer, Leo, Virgo. We get to the fourth place, fourth house. The fourth house is your origins. The fourth house is also your security base. Your fourth house is the impressions of the world that you received as a young person when you were mostly experiencing the world as an emotionally impressionable being that then shape your emotional body that you bring into adulthood. It's this limbic resonance thing that's talked about in the book A General Theory of Love. So the fourth house is a kind of a neurological map that's adopted emotionally that then becomes a guide to your mental and emotional processing of reality. You have Virgo on that house, which means, by the way, that you were cognitive very young. Mercury does not just get its wits and its ability to speak and to read and to listen and to write only from Mercury in the form of Gemini. It also gets it from Mercury in the form of Virgo on your fourth house, which is saying that at a very young age you were interested in assimilating your reality in a whole way. Of all of the signs of the zodiac, Virgo, I think, is the one that most vividly illustrates that process of personality integration, of weaving together that which is already whole, so therefore it's really an experience in consciousness. And so when we see Mercury active in your chart, it is simultaneously representing you in your I am state, and it's representing Virgo, which is a, Virgo is a very mental sign for you, it is a dominantly emotional experience, and that emotional experience is the one of needing to be whole. And so you have this as the foundation on which your psyche is built, and this can be a beautiful thing, but it can also be wrought with peril, because it's to actually do the work, the healing work, a big theme of Virgo, of integration, can be a struggle. It's not easy. Everyone's doing it on some level, but most don't really care about it that much. They're willing to be the nice person in this circumstances and the blatant racist in this circumstances, and that contradiction does not matter. I would say that those kind of contradictions, not that I'm calling you any of these things, but whatever form they might take, matter to you. That you notice when you contradict yourself in some way, and you wonder about it. It's that reflexive quality of Gemini, but it's also the emotional need to integrate your psyche that is Virgo. So one of the things that I see in these charts is that your concept of I am could well be illustrated by, for example, a Sun-Mercury conjunction in Gemini, which is happening right now as we speak. It's in, it's like right in arc minutes of separation. Quite a hot aspect, and it's kind of wild to be talking about this under that aspect. The representation of Mercury from Virgo talks about this is who I was shaped to be by my environment as a child. And there is often a clash between them. You don't want to be that person who you were shaped to be as a child. You want to outgrow those things. You don't necessarily like those influences, especially when you see them for what they were, when you see the limits that were put upon you. Some of those limits might have included being in an environment that did not sufficiently allow you to feel so that you could express yourself in some way honestly. And now you know that you need to feel. You need to reach deeper into your experience and challenge your early environment and allow yourself to be a person who is able to orient from the safe perspective of your feeling body. There's many examples of this. The fourth house is very much an ancestral house. So we don't know how far back these influences go. There are a lot of them. And in my questing through consciousness, I have identified the possibility that the genetic makeup of who we are can be overly influenced by certain individuals and the experiences of certain individuals that are passed on, and less by others. And some have invisible roles that seemed minor or didn't exist at all, who can play profound experiences, people maybe that you've forgotten, or people who didn't seem to have enough of an impact to be worth remembering. And so there can be some cloaking and masking that goes on, where things that really influenced you can tuck away, and things that were less influential or less, it's kind of the same thing in a way, recognized, can be passed down through a number of generations and shape a worldview. How hard life is, for example. This concept, this neurological programming we have of how hard life is, well, what is that? You know, where does that come from? And why is it that some people experience lives that are just easier than others? And why is it that some people experience lives that are very difficult? And could this have something to do with genetic faceting? And is that faceting not influenced sometimes by a single individual, four or five generations back, possibly much longer, who that one bit of what you might think of as like existential folklore is passed down the generations, not necessarily as a conscious process or with good intentions of saying, oh, this is how life is, your friends will steal from you, for example. Some bullshit like that, that leads to a fundamental internal conflict. My sense is that from particularly the condition of Virgo right now, which is rather interesting, home to an Etruscan god called Orcus, a pre-European, modern Europe, a god of the underworld, kind of the proto-Pluto, is moving through your fourth house. And this is saying old, 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 not just old, normal old, like hundreds of years back, but really old, some truly ancestral quality is wanting to make itself known as the thing that shapes your worldview. So I would suggest letting your mind relax and suspending what you think you know about your family background and your origins, and see if you can slip back into that primordial pool from which you emerged. And you can, you know, the shore of that pool obviously is your parents and your grandparents, and you can go back into history and gain an understanding as best you can of what these people went through in the country that they came from. Like, check that out. You know, what was the thing? I mean, if you know, your parents were grandparents or great-grandparents were Irish and emigrated in the early 20th century, if it was prior to that, what was the thing that got them to leave? What were the circumstances that got them to come to wherever it is that you happen to be? And if you are one of those folks who's in the place, let's say you're French and living in France and your people go all the way back for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years, what is it about the story of your culture, not just your family, but of your society, of the village these people lived in, that tells you about how your consciousness was shaped to have the expectations that you have. And as you identify these things, these little splits will start to kind of burst together. They will sort of melt into something. And I think that parts of your, these tense bits will relax and you will begin to gain access to strengths that were existing as potential. So Mercury comes out of Virgo as well, and it's retrograde in your sign. And the retrograde is a symbol to look back and look within. Now, I've mentioned that Mars is driving you forward and maybe saying, oh, fuck that. I don't care about the past. But I would suggest that you work both of these, this bold assertion of who you are with this questioning of who you are based on your origins and where you came from. One of the things that's happening is that Mercury is retrograding into a square to Nessus. Let me just take a quick look at that station direct chart and verify how close that that is. So it is a mighty close square between Nessus and Mercury. So here's what that says to me. Let's translate this out of astrology's into English. What it's saying is that this journey back will take you right to the edge of that thing it is that you are looking for. So if you're worried that the search is going to bring you back into something where you're going to get lost in that thing, where you're not going to be able to find basically where you're going to get lost in the thing that you're trying to heal from, I would say not to worry about that. You want to get as close as you can, but you're not going to get sucked in. You will stop at a safe distance where you can perceive what this thing is and then move forward. Now, Nessus is in your 10th house. This is the house of, as mentioned, of vocation, calling, profession, reputation, career, your true purpose, the thing that you will assert yourself with your real authority in life. And one of the most beautiful themes of this Mercury retrograde is the exploration of where your sense of I am as you experience it related to what you do, what your calling is versus who you inherently are, is one of the main things that is happening. And so there is a relationship between this quest for some mystery in your ancestral past or some set of mysteries that have led to a worldview, an existential worldview, versus your quest for identity in this time, in this place, in your lifetime, and the integration of what you do with who you feel you are. So it is as if you are seeking some reconciliation with something in the past, and in your familial line, it could be either parent, by the way, because both parents are strongly insinuated in this astrology that will release the pain of that ancestral memory, that will remind you as if you like woke up from this profound dream of who you know you are. Ah, like imagine you have this dream where it's like you awaken in this dream to a complete understanding of your sense of purpose and your beingness on this planet, which will in turn make it very clear what you want and need and must and are called to do. So you are working with the past as a power source and as a way to free up energy that is contained there like a battery, and to bring that into a worldly first house, daily experience, sense of what you do, walking, you know, like your awareness as you walk around the world and look at things and talk to people and do things with this other thing, which is your sense of purpose, of calling, of necessity, that is not about, oh, what I feel like doing to make some money, or this is what my family, they sent me to school for accounting when I really wanted to play bass or something like this. And there is a kind of a reconciliation. And this whole chart is about reconciliation, where suddenly all of these multiple dimensions can open up into a single experience of living that will both free you from the need to be trapped in or dwell in the past, that will free you from a certain nagging question that you have about the present, and that will, I think, at the same time be liberating of a certain annoying sense of a search for purpose and release you into a much more inherent sense of purpose. Right? That's not who you are becoming. It is who you actually are. Then you get to live that. You don't have to become anything. It's a question of allowing yourself, or question, same concept, to be what you are. And we all know this is possible, right? This is just like the thing that you can just sort of sell anywhere. But underneath that sort of external, exoteric sales pitch of this, like, be who you are, oh, you know, whatever, be all you can be, is this truth that, well, if you were able to just be who you are, you would have enormous strength and motivation and authentically power, and the power of being aligned with both purpose and self and history. You need to be aligned with your past. You need to be clear about what your ancestors were experiencing and the way that it shaped them, because that clarity then becomes a foundation of consciousness that allows you to claim your own space and not just merely be tethered to all the stuff that they went through. And this, by the way, above all else, involves your parents, who are your first links into the ancestors. And we don't think of our parents as the ancestors, because we, for the most part, knew them. Most people grow up with their parents into adulthood as they grow older, and we don't think of them as the most recent representation of the ancestors, and therefore they are unduly dominant. And if there is one problem that I would identify with American and Western culture in general, as it blocks our ability to self-actualize, is a relationship to our parents that is not helpful. And it would be immensely helpful if you were to align your relationship with all of your ancestors, including your parents, such to understand that you now are the working end of the stick. You now are the representative of the immediate present and the edge that is pushing yourself and humanity forward. Because if we don't go forward, we tend to be dragged back. And your astrology illustrates this amazing situation where you are able to update, resolve, and bring yourself into the present to do what you know you must do. And it is not, by worldly standards, that easy what you want to do, because you're seeking to do something that is challenging, that is requiring sensitivity and vision and love and a kind of a vast creative experiment that you know is daring, but you also know that that is where your true strength resides. And if particularly Chiron in the 10th house is saying anything, it is put on the mantle of your own power and wear it and walk with it in the world, and don't let anyone from any time in history, any secret ancestor who had some bad thing happen 150 years ago, influence your ability to live the life that you want to live now. Okay, I'm going to pause at this stage. There's one vital transit that I've left out, and it is in some way the thing that sums up the whole story here, which is that of Saturn in the seventh house. And so that is a long-term transit. Saturn is in Sagittarius now. Saturn is in your relationship house now. I'm going to just cue this in for a second, and let's see, maybe I'll cover it. If I get on a roll, I'll stay here. But Saturn is in your seventh house now. It's about to retrograde back into Scorpio for a few months, and then it will return to Sagittarius, where it will be through the end of 2017. So that's a long span of time where Saturn is in your seventh house. And what we get with this image of Saturn in the seventh, Saturn, the planet that at once represents change. Nobody says this about Saturn, but it's one of the most dependable agents of change that there is, and it represents the structures as they've been handed to us from the past, and our experience of the past, our experience of authority, parental authority in many cases, coming into your seventh house, your relationship house, partners, friendly partners, marriage partners, business partners, and enemies. Isn't that funny? So it's all forms of the other is the seventh house. That relationship where you look right across at someone and you say, ah, that's what that person is. Saturn moving through this house is about clearing the decks. It is about a clean sweep. It is about removing obstacles. Now, it may seem like an obstacle. It may seem like, wow, you know what? This relationship is stuck, or I'm in the situation I don't want to be in. But what Saturn is actually doing is giving you the power to clear away the psychic reality field where you have your relationships and make a space to have something new happen that is more appropriate to your current circumstances, to the environment that you currently live in, that the self that you are discovering, integrating, and becoming, the mission that you are accepting, the inner person who you are, who is finding expression in the world. And there are few more important expressions of that inner being than the ability to express your inner being in your relationships and be felt and accepted, understood, and have a home as best as possible with others in that true expression of self that you are. And so Saturn is saying, all right, we're going to completely, while we're doing all this other stuff, it is time for a thorough reassessment of the entire concept of relationship, structure of relationships, expectations of relationships, and with Sagittarius involved, above all else, the role of religion in relationships, in your relationships. And you may think, religion, what's the whole thing with religion? Well, our whole model of relationships is a religiously based model. We take it for granted. We think it's really old and goes back. The old, supposedly oldest recorded tale that our culture acknowledges is Adam and Eve, and there's a relationship model set up in Adam and Eve. There's a story told in the supposed book of Genesis. With all due respect to the Torah, it is ridiculous. It is ridiculous, for example, that God created a dude and forgot to create a woman. It said, oh, we also need a woman. So let's just, I'm going to take a nap there. I'm going to anesthetize you, Adam. I'm going to remove a rib from your body. I'm going to convert this little appendage into your equal and opposite being. Give me a break. If you were God, what would you do? Well, you'd create humanity in one thing. What do you like? God who like makes an omelet but forgets the eggs? Okay, funny pun there. And so we have this marriage model that is passed down to us both from antiquity and through the generations, and there's a lot of expectations put on that. And that model is a one-size-fits-all model. It does not acknowledge the distinct individuality of every person involved, the relational orientation being different for every person on the planet, the sexual orientation being different from every person on the planet. And guess what? You know that you are different, and you know that you change, and you know that everyone is different. This is, you know, when I jump into the, like, slip my etheric body into the Gemini frame of reference, which is what I do when I do these readings. Ah, look how different everyone is. That's the first thing I see. Look at all this distinction. Look at all this variety. Look at how every member of the human race expresses himself and herself and perself and itself and everything in between self in a different way, with a different approach to existing, to love, to consciousness, to sharing, to communicating, to relating. And now you seem to be getting to the point where it may become plainly obvious that the one-size-fits-all model of relationships doesn't fit you. Something does. Many people do. Someone might. There's obviously, you have a need for many different people, types of people, and types of relationship in your life. And the presence of Saturn in Sagittarius for a long time in your relationship house, to me, reads approximately as such. Notice the influence of religion in your concept of what a relationship is. This does not come with value judgments necessarily. It doesn't come with a blatant statement that that's wrong and that's right. But rather it's saying, notice how you feel. Notice where you are. Observe the expectations that are put on you. Rather than just say, okay, that's an expectation put on me. I'm going to do that thing because that's what my parents did, or that's what my grandparents want. You will now get the feeling, I think, again, this is my read on an astrology chart, a grand abstraction, that you have to have space in this world to actually be this person that you're becoming. And one of the first places you may run out of room is in your relationship concept. Where did that come from? And all these other people with a similar, or think they have a similar concept, where did that come from? And when you try to say, hey, you know, our relationship concept's a little cramping here. It's a little, I feel a little boxed in. I'm doing all this becoming. I'm doing all this expanding and exploring and integrating my past and seeking a sense of who I am and where I belong on this planet. I'm feeling the beauty of the mission that I came here and feel called to do. And I'm just noticing that when I do all those things, it doesn't exactly fit this little box that was passed down to me by some people. I don't even know their names, 5 or 10 or 20 or 30 generations ago, some pope or some rabbi back there, way back in the foggy ruins of time, gave me this box, and I'm supposed to cram myself and all my feelings into this box, but I don't fit in that box. Maybe I need some other thing. Maybe I don't want a box at all. Maybe I need like an ocean or something. Maybe I need the cosmos. Maybe I need a mountain. Maybe I need a huge lake. Maybe I need a vast, intricate network of caves. Maybe I need a glider to fly around in, because I don't want to be trapped in this two-dimensional world where, you know, I can only, you know, go up and down by elevator. I want to get up there and fly around and see the world with perspective. In terms of Saturn influencing your relationships over the next few years, that to me is the message. You're going to get a look at this box. You're going to feel this box, and you're going to feel with exaggerated emphasis how much you are becoming, and get to contrast the two of them. I would say get this dialogue going early. Get people on board with this. Start to have this discussion about, you know, what happens in this model of relationship that our culture gives us when someone actually starts to discover who they are and discover their mission. Maybe there's a way to have relationships that allows us to be in that state of discovery and change and potential and expansion and releasing from the past. Maybe there is an adaptable way to relate to other people. And if you're looking for where this kind of not so adaptable box came from, read the book of Genesis and see what it says about how people are supposed to relate to one another. And ask yourselves, if you identify with any of those characters in the book of Genesis, is your name in that book, to borrow from Adrian Rich? All right. That's what I have to say to you for today. I'll be back tomorrow with some astrology afterthoughts on my afterthoughts, and going to flip some tarot cards out of the Voyager deck by James Wanless, Dr. James Wanless, a PhD in history and political science, very bright guy, and he's made one of the best tarot decks ever. I suggest you get this deck and love it, read it, study the tarot from this deck. Always happy to have that conversation with you, by the way, and write to me if you'd like, efc@ericfrancis.com. And by the way, you are listening to 23 Degrees from the CD and Endless Searching for Substance. Thanks for listening. I'll be back with you in a digital instant. Bye for now. Thank you.